from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news first, the headline. Indonesian Vice President ensures maximum aid and search and rescue operations for landslide. Indonesia launches National Student Pledge to foster character and safe schools. I'm Rahmawati, here is the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President visited the landslide disaster site in West Bandung Regency to ensure effective emergency response. The government is focusing efforts on protecting vulnerable groups and accelerating search and rescue operations. Rizka Fadila has the detail.
Vice President Gibran Rakabuming personally visited the landslide-affected area triggered by heavy rain in West Bandung Regency, West Java Province, on Sunday. During his visit, Gibran instructed his staff to prioritize vulnerable communities in the distribution of logistical aid and health services.
I request that those in these evacuation centers, especially the children, pregnant women, and the elderly in this factory be prioritized. 3 meals a day and medication must be available to everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the team on the ground. We have deployed all our heavy equipment. We are doing everything we can.
On the same occasion, the head of the National Search and Rescue Agency, Muhammad Syafi'i, stated that the inspection was conducted to ensure personal readiness, equipment completeness, and the effectiveness of inter-agency coordination in the field. Search and Rescue Agency is committed to ensuring that all processes are carried out optimally, prioritizing the safety of personnel and affected communities.
Regarding the use of infrastructure, this search and rescue operation will utilize two elements. The air element, which involve registered drones. We will operate 12 drones. Likewise, the ground element, from personnel to heavy equipment, has also been deployed.
West Bandung Regency, West Java Province, was hit by a landslide since early Saturday morning due to heavy rainfall. The landslide buried dozens of homes under landslide material and mud, causing severe damage to settlements around the affected area. Rizka Padilla, reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education has inaugurated a new initiative to reinforce student character by formally launching the Indonesian Student Pledge. Minister Abdul Mukti presided over the historic first reading during a flag ceremony, simultaneously underscoring the government's commitment to its safe and comfortable school program, aimed at improving the nation's learning environment. Hasna Nur Afifah has the detail.
Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education strengthens student character education through reading of Indonesian Student Pledge and enhancement of safe and comfortable school program. This policy was announced by the Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, Abdul Mukti, while serving as the ceremony supervisor at the flag-raising ceremony at SMP Negeri 2 Wonodadi, Banjarnegara Regency, Central Java on Monday. The ceremony was attended by combined participants from primary and junior high school education units in the Banjarnegara Regency area.
Lima pesan tadi merupakan amanah dari Bapak Presiden.
These five messages are a mandate from the President for all of you to become a great Indonesian generation. A generation that always has a high learning spirit, respect parents, respects teachers, lives in harmony with friends, and loves our homeland, Indonesia.
In addition to strengthening values and character, the government is also giving serious attention to the condition of the learning environment. The physical environment and school atmosphere are considered to play an important role in supporting a safe and comfortable learning process.
Bapak Presiden berkomitmen.
The President is committed to improving schools across Indonesia so that all of them become comfortable schools for us to learn in. Furthermore, we also want to cultivate a school atmosphere where we can all live in harmony and feel safe, safe while we are learning.
Aman ketika kita belajar.
Abdul Muti explained that this commitment is the actualization of Minister of Primary and Secondary Education Regulation No. 6 of 2026, which emphasizes the development of school environments that are safe, comfortable, clean, and orderly to support learning activities. Hasna Nur Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
The Ministry of Environment is following up on President Prabowo Subianto's directive in a recent limited meeting regarding the regulation and revocation of permits for 28 business units found to have violated environmental regulations. This step was taken following the hydrometeorological disasters that hit Aceh, North Sumatra, and West Sumatra, which were allegedly triggered by business activities that did not comply with environmental carrying capacity. Anissa Audrita has the detail.
The Indonesian Ministry of Environment is following up on President Prabowo Subianto's directive to regulate 28 business units deemed to have violated environmental regulations. In a working meeting with Commission 12 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, or DPR RI, in Jakarta on Monday, January 26, 2026, Minister of Environment Hanif Faisal Nurofik stated that the Ministry of Environment is currently preparing to revoke environmental permits for 8 business units found to have violated environmental regulations.
Terkait dengan upaya pencabutan.
Regarding the efforts to revoke the permits of 28 business units as mandated by the President in the recent limited meeting, please allow us to explain that on the forestry side, we are currently preparing to revoke the environmental approvals of 8 key business entities that do not meet the criteria.
Hanif added that the 8 companies met several criteria for permit revocation as stipulated in the regulation of the Minister of Environment and Forestry concerning the sanction in the environmental sector. One of this relates to environmental pollution and or environmental damage that cannot be controlled or is difficult to restore. Meanwhile, regarding the other 20 business units, Hanif stated that they are still awaiting the revocation of their business permits by the relevant technical ministries, which will automatically be followed by the revocation of their environmental permits.
Because according to our norms, if a business's technical permit is revoked, we will also revoke its environmental permit. So for the 20, we are still waiting for the technical ministry to respond, but we will revoke the permits for the 8 because they have violated the 5 regulations.
In addition to taking action against 28 business units, the Ministry of Environment has also conducted field supervision of 68 companies in Aceh, North Sumatra, and West Sumatra. Hanif Faisal stated that all these companies are required to undergo environmental audits as a basis for determining further sanctions ranging from permit strengthening and revocation to civil and criminal legal proceedings. Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
The government inaugurates temporary housing for disaster-affected residents in Agam Regency, West Sumatra. In addition to temporary housing, the government has prepared several housing assistance schemes based on the level of damage to residents' homes. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan has the detail.
Minister of Home Affairs Tito Karnavian inaugurate temporary housing for flood and landslide victims. Through social media, on Sunday, January 25, 2026, Tito stated that temporary housing is one of the most anticipated solutions for affected residents, especially to expedite relocation from evacuation sites. Tito added that in addition to temporary housing, the government has prepared several housing assistance schemes based on the level of damage to residents' home. The government classified damaged home into three categories, namely lightly damaged, moderately damaged, and heavily damaged or lost.
Some of these refugees have damaged homes, lightly damaged, moderately damaged, and heavily damaged. Residents with slightly and moderately damaged homes are given a stimulus fee of 15 million rupiah each, while moderately damaged ones receive 30 million rupiah.
Tito explained that the Indonesian government is also preparing permanent housing for residents whose homes are severely damaged or lost.
For those with severely damaged or lost homes, permanent housing is being provided. But before permanent housing is provided, they have two options. First, temporary housing is being provided, or they choose not to live in temporary housing, stay with family, or perhaps rent a rental contract and receive the housing waiting fund. That remains the responsibility of the National Disaster Management Agency.
The government is also confirmed that the Central Statistic Agency or BPS has conducted data collection and validation of aid recipients in the three affected provinces. Tito added that once the validation process is complete, aid will be dispersed immediately to accelerate the reduction in the number of evacuees. Raditya Arif Putrasdiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
Moving on to Indonesian Deputy Minister of Law Edward Omar Sharif Hiraij on Monday emphasized the new criminal code and criminal procedure code were drafted with reference to modern criminal law paradigms. In a discussion forum in Jakarta, he added, both legal instruments were drafted with a focus on rehabilitative justice.
Vice Minister of Law Edward Omar Sharif Hiraij reported on the progress in drafting various implementing regulations for the Criminal Code or KUHP and the Criminal Procedure Code or KUHAP. This report was delivered during a working meeting with Commission 13 of the Indonesian House of Representatives or DPR RI, which oversees regulation, reformation, and human rights at the parliamentary complex in Senayan, Monday. In his presentation, Edward Omar outlined create progress on several drafts derivative regulations of the criminal code, ranging from the draft law on procedures for implementing and death penalty to the draft law on settlement of criminal acts. Beyond regulatory aspects, Vice Minister Edward also reported on the number of programs and collaborative efforts that have been undertaken. This coordination includes public participation programs and synergy with Parliament and working partners to ensure the effective implementation of the laws.
KUHP dan KUHAP berfungsi.
The Criminal Code and Criminal Procedure Code serves as the legal backbone while ministries and institutions act as the operational engines. Efforts do not stop at the regulatory level but are realized in concrete practices, ranging from criminalization to case management, witness and victim protection to human rights-based law enforcement.
Furthermore, Edward Omar acknowledged that in implementing these two major legal codifications, the government will face a number of challenges. Several key challenges already identified include the adaptation of law enforcement officers' culture to the new paradigm in the Criminal Code and Criminal Procedure Code, the readiness of facilities and infrastructure supporting the application of the new rules, and potential public and constitutional reviews that may arise with the enactment of these derivative regulations. The government officially enacted the National Criminal Code or KUHP under Law No. 1 of 2023 and the new Criminal Procedure Code or KUHP under Law No. 20 of 2025 on January 2, 2026. Coordinating Minister of Law, Human Rights, Immigration, and Penitentiary Affairs, Yusril Issa Mahendra, stated that the enactment of these two laws marks a new chapter for national law enforcement that is more modern, just, and rooted in Pancasila values and Indonesian culture. Hasnanur Afifah, Voice of Indonesia.
Edward hopes the public will accept the decision to enact these two laws. Despite some controversy, the government has stated its readiness to provide an explanation to all parties. The goal is for these two legal instruments to be accepted by all levels of society in Indonesia, which is multi-ethnic, multi-religious, and multicultural. The Working Committee on Land Conversion of Commission 4 of the Indonesian House of Representatives held a public hearing with several environmental organizations in Jakarta. The meeting was held to gather public aspirations for improving the protection of natural resources. Kiki Purba has the detail.
The Working Committee or Panja on Land Conversion of Commission 4 of the DPRRI invited for environmental organizations to a public hearing in Jakarta on Monday. Together input regarding efforts to improve environmental protection in Indonesia, the four organizations are the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, the Indonesian Farmer Union, Auriga Nusantara, and Pantau Gambut. During the meeting, Walhi notes that at least 26 million hectares of natural forests in Indonesia are under threat due to being included in extractive permit concessions. Head of Walhi Campaign Divisions, Uliarta Siagian, emphasized the importance of restoring the minimum forest protection limit of 30%, as well as the need for a new, more progressive forestry law that maintains permanent protected zones.
Bukan pencabutan izin dan penagihan tanggung jawab pemulihan kepada korporasi yang telah melakukan eksploitasi dan pengrusakan ekosistem penting serta melakukan pelanggaran hukum.
Meanwhile, Pantau Gabut highlighted the importance of improving regulation regarding peatland to provide more secure legal protections.
Ini kami anggap patut menjadi pertimbangan untuk menaikkan regulasi gambut pada tingkatan undang-undang lebih kuat. We consider this worthy of consideration
in raising peatland regulations to the level of legislation to make them stronger.
Through the meeting, all environmental organizations hope that the Working Committee of Commission 4 would be able to encourage equitable policy synchronizations to ensure the sustainability of Indonesia's ecological infrastructure in the future. Regarding this, Working Committee member Alex Indralu encouraged collaboration between all parties to ensure environmental protection efforts can be achieved. Kiki Purba, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian National Police Chief Listio Sigit Prabowo conveys the police's commitment to maintaining security and peace in society. According to him, the police even support democracy for workers in Indonesia by encouraging workers' placement in several regions. Rama Shidki Pratama has the detail. We end the news with Deputy for Systems and Governance of the National Nutrition Agency, Tigor Pangaribuan, who highlights Japan's success in making nutrition a primary foundation for human resource development. He emphasized that proper nutrition is key to a nation's transformation, both physically and intellectually. Putri Cahaya Purnama has the detail.
Deputy for Systems and Governance of the National Nutrition Agency, Tigor Pangaribuan, stated on Sunday, January 25, 2026, that the National Nutrition Agency is studying the Japanese government's approach to nutrition as a key pillar in supporting human resource development. At the peak event of Nutrition Week 2026 at the agency headquarters in Jakarta, Tigor stated that Japan has consistently implemented a nutritious eating program for 150 years. This long-standing effort, he said, has succeeded in improving the physical quality and cognitive capacity of citizens.
Jadi rata-rata IQ-nya anak-anak di Jepang itu sekarang itu 100.
So the average intelligence quotient of children in Japan is now 115, the highest in the world. Their average height is 175 centimeters, and if they exercise, they are always number 4, number 5, and they are definitely among the top 10 in the world.
Based on this success, the Indonesian government through the National Nutrition Agency is committed to strengthening the Free Nutritious Meal Program as a key strategy towards the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045. Tigor is optimistic that Indonesia can produce a generation with an average IQ of up to 120 by prioritizing nutrition during childhood.
Kita berharapnya nanti Indonesia di 2045 adik-adik.
We hope that in 2045, all the young people who are now eating nutritious food will be our generations with an IQ of 120, if possible. Indonesia will become a center for the discovery of various innovations worldwide.
In commemoration of National Nutrition Day, which falls every January 25th, the National Nutrition Agency invites all stakeholders, including the Ministry of Health and the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, to work together to support national nutrition policies. With the theme Strong Nutrition, Great Indonesia, this event emphasizes the shared commitment that a sovereign and strong nation begins with the physical resilience and health of each individual. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it concludes today's news bulletin from Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yogyakarta City is an interesting tourism attraction. It has not only a lot of cultural and artistic heritage, but also has many beautiful and natural tourism objects that can spoil visitors' eyes. One of them is a multi-level waterfall called Grojogan Watu Purbo. Grojogan Watu Purbo, located in Dukuh Bangunrejo, Merdeka Rejo Village, Temple District, Slamarjansi, Yogyakarta, is also known as Grojogan Watu Purbo Bangun Rejo because it is located in Dukuh Bangun Rejo. Grojogan Watu Purbo has an unusual grojogan or waterfall, such as a six-level terracing and flowed by a series of small waterfalls. The water flows from the Krasak River. Grojogan Watu Purbo has actually been existing since 1975. Initially, this place was built because of the Merapi project, which built a dam to hold back lava flow when an eruption occurred. In this area, there is actually a grojogan or a waterfall on the left and right and large old stones. It is not known for sure the age of the stones. That's why it's called Grojogan Watu Purbo, which means ancient rock waterfall. Grojogan Watu Purbo is famous for its very beautiful scenery with six levels of towering waterfalls. The best view is seen in the morning when the sun rises, coupled with the chirping of birds greeting visitors. The rocks that decorate the river are so exotic, it's ideal to be a stepping place when playing water. This place is appropriate for all ages. Visitors can explore every corner of Grojogan Watu Purbo and every level, and also sit on a large rock while looking at the beauty of Grojogan. You can also swim here and of course don't miss taking selfies. The best time to visit Grojogan Watu Purbo is the rainy season, but you should avoid it when the rainfall is too heavy.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kamelia, bangkitkan kembali rinduku mengajakku ke sana. Ingin ku berlari mengejar seribu bayangmu, Kamelia. Tak pedulikan ku terjang, biarpun harus ku tembus padang hilalang. Tiba-tiba langkahku terhenti, sejuta tangan telah menahanku. Ingin ku maki mereka berkata, tak perlu kau berlari mengejar mimpi yang tak pasti. Hari ini juga mimpi, maka biarkan ia datang di hatimu, di hatimu. lagi mereka berkata, tak perlu kau berlari mengejar mimpi yang tak pasti. Hari ini juga mimpi, maka biarkan ia datang di hatimu, di hatimu, di hatimu, di hatimu, di hatimu, di hatimu, di
hatimu. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The Meras Gandrung Banyuwangi art performance was held again at the Taman Gantung Terrakota or TGT Park, Banyuwangi, East Java Province on 20th January 2024. This art and cultural attraction is done regularly at the park. The Sendratari Meras Gandrung is a colossal performance which depicts the procession of a dancer's struggle in dealing with challenges and tests in order to graduate to becoming a Gandrung dancer. This performance is even more iconic because it is held at the park with a panoramic view of hundreds of terracotta statues of Gandrung dancers on 3 hectares of productive rice fields in the area of Mount Ijen Slopes. The ballet performance by passionate dancers ranging from children to adults was held at an amphitheater in the terracotta area. Listener, Gandrung dance is a typical Banyuwangi dance. This dance was originally danced during the main harvest as an expression of gratitude for the harvest gained. The word Gandrung in the local language means fascinated. This meaning is aimed only at Dewi Sri, the goddess of rice who has provided prosperity for society. That's why this dance is performed after the harvest on a large scale as a sign of gratitude to Dewi Sri. However, now this dance has become an entertainment art for the local community. Head of the Banyuwangi Culture and Tourism Service, Muhammad Yanuarto Bramuda, explained that the Meras Gandrung performance at Taman Gantung Terrakota Park has become part of the popular tourist attraction. This attraction complements the tourist attraction in the Ijen Mountains area, which is famous for its blue fire. The performance of the Meras Gandrung Ballet is also part of a series of art and culture activities held on a scheduled basis for 2024. In January, February, and March, the Meras Gandrung Ballet performance is held free of charge for TGT visitors. Meanwhile, for the January schedule itself, the performance was held on Saturday, January 28, 2024 at 2 p.m. at Taman Gantung Terrakota Park. That's the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sanggup untuk bangkit dari kegagalan yang tak seharusnya kau sesali. Karena kenyataan hidup yang aku jalani tak seindah saat ku dengar engkau bernyanyi. Peluklah lelah jiwaku mama yang terluka di pecundang. Yang penuh dan jam ini ajari untuk menghapus sebuah rasa benci. Biarkan kasih lembutmu sentuh hatiku, ubah aku jadi buah hati yang
peluklah lelah jiwaku, mampah
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Anyway, today's topic is about the perusahaan ekspedisi. The perusahaan ekspedisi, which means at shipping company. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation about bersepeda motor. Bersepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. This conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a staff at a shipping company in Semarang. The staff told Chris the fee of shipping his motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, bersepeda motor. Bersepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. I'm going to say each word two times slowly, and please repeat after me. Biaya, biaya, which means fee. Pengiriman, pengiriman, which means shipping. Dari Semarang. Dari Semarang, which means from Semarang. Ke Palangkaraya. Ke Palangkaraya, which means to Palangkaraya. Rp1.300.000. Rp1.300.000, which means Rp1.300.000. Per, which means each. Sepeda motor. Sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor, which means the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. Berapa biaya? Berapa biaya? Which means, how much is the fee? Mengirim. Mengirim. Which means, to send. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Which means, the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. In the sentence, there is the phrase per sepeda motor. Per sepeda motor, which means for each motorcycle. The word per, which means each, which divides each one of the sepeda motor, or motorcycle. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions per.
biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000. Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000. Which means membership in this gym is Rp100.000 per month. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang. Which means the movie ticket is Rp50.000 per person. For your information, Indonesian term for a two-wheeled vehicle is sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. However, most Indonesians call motorcycles as motor, which means motor. In some other regions, they call it kereta, which actually means train. Even some call it with certain motorcycle brands. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or let's speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about per sepeda motor. Per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Central Kalimantan entitled Manari Manasai. This song is generally sung to accompany the Manasai dance when receiving traditional guests or important state figures who visit Central Kalimantan. The Manasai dance is often performed. Thereby, the Manasai dance is also well known as the welcome dance. The song, written by Walton Ruji, narrates the movements of the dance as well as a call to dance together. Well, listeners, this is Maria Alkib with the song Manasai from Central Kalimantan. Enjoy listening to the song.
We all